Text 49. This is the prayer's shift till the end of the prayers, which are 53. Almighty Lord, although you have no reason to become involved in material activity, still you act through your external potency of time to arrange for the creation, maintenance, and destruction of this universe. You do this means you arrange for the creation, maintenance, and destruction of the universe through time, even though Krishna is aloof. He does this, how? By awakening the distinct functions of each of the modes of nature, which before the creation lie dormant. Simply by your glance, you perfectly execute all these activities of cosmic control in a sporting mood. So these verses are philosophical, and they bring in so much of the philosophy of the creation, etc. The third canto in Kapila Muni's teachings, he describes this by injecting within the pradhana, the unmanifested three modes of material nature, the living entities and their karma. It excites them and brings them to life. And he does this by his glance. So he's indirectly the cosmic controller. And he does this, samikshaya amogha vihara ihase. So you do this, samikshaya, by your glance, amogha vihara. Vihara means your playful sportive lila activities. They are spotlessly and sinlessly done. They are amogha. This is Krishna's amogha lila. Amogha means it's spotless or sinless. So Krishna acts in this way. His vihara, even though the living entities are entangled in sinful activities through their actions in the material world, Krishna, by his glance, which enables the modes of material nature, it empowers them to act through the living entities and their karma and the potency of his glance. Krishna is unentangled. He remains forever unentangled. So therefore it is called amogha vihar. Yet it is for his pleasure. Because this is something we understand about Krishna, that whatever he does causes him pleasure. There's no possibility of Krishna experiencing pain. His body, his transcendental body, is composed of sat-chit and ananda, intelligence, consciousness, and bliss. So everything he does is blissful. So even through his dealings in the material world, there are causes of ecstasy for him. Here's the commentary, and then we'll read the purport, and then we'll read the comments, some of the comments of the acharyas. So this implies that although the living entity suffers due to his own free will and due to his own misuse of independence by dealing with the material world in an enjoying, exploitive mood, when Krishna deals with the material world, there's no suffering, because there is no false ego, and rather it causes him pleasure. And when a devotee is perfectly in relationship with Krishna, then Vishnu Purna Sukhayate, the material world also becomes a place of pleasure for him. Purport. Skeptics may question why the Supreme Lord has created the material world, which is full of birth, maintenance, and death. In other words, why it causes so much suffering. That's like the prisoners again. Quoting, why does the government make this prison house, which is the cause of our suffering? Here, the Nagapatnis point out that the Lord's pastimes of amogha, beyond any discrepancy, there are no inconsistencies, there's no cruelty, there's no bad motive, there's no imperfections in all his activities. Sri Krishna actually desires that all conditioned souls live with him in his eternal kingdom, which is known as Golok Vrindavan. But those forgetful souls who are inimical to their loving relationship with God must go to the material world and be subjected to the conditions of time. So the prisoner in the prison house, it's not that Krishna, the king, wants to put the prisoners in the prison house, but he has to have laws. He has to. The government has to be there. So what is the law of the spiritual world is that Krishna is in the center. That's basically the only law, and everything else is spontaneous. Spontaneously based on pleasing, lovingly pleasing Krishna as the center. It's the only law. And you just are not allowed in if you don't have this type of spontaneous loving affection for Krishna. So if a soul chooses to not have that, not wishes to waken up and keep his relationship with Krishna, then he's forced to go to the prison house of the material world where he can work out his problem. So Krishna's desire isn't that the souls suffer these things in the material world. His desire is they be with him. The fortunate condition, those forgetful souls who are inimical to their loving relationship with God must go to the material world and be subjected to the conditions of time. So how long does it take for them to get out of the material world once they completely, to the core of their existence, decide that they want to be with Krishna and be Krishna's? Basically, they're out instantaneously. Katvanga Maharaj is a cited example, just a moment it takes of surrender. The fortunate conditioned souls are startled into remembrance of their actual position as loving servants of the Lord, and from within the heart, the Lord then encourages them to go back, to come back home, back to Godhead, where time is conspicuous by its absence, and eternal blissful existence supersedes the dramatic but disturbing functions of the cosmic creation and annihilation. Srila Madhvacharya quotes, or he comments on this verse. The internal potency of Lord Hari is known as the time potency because of eternally embodying all the material qualities. The other modes are based on time. This internal potency is known as Durga because of the difficulties of achieving her benediction and because of being the cause of the annihilation of everything. Further, it is known as Vayu because of giving life to everything. Thus, it is understood that both Durga and Vayu identify as the predominators of the energy of time. This is a quotation from a Prakash Samhita, a shastra that we are not familiar with. At least I am not. Srila Sanatana Goswami comments, but it may be objected, this offender should be punished. To which the Nagapatnis reply with the five verses beginning Tom. He in this is in this sense of Eva means that you alone are the Almighty, O Lord of all. You produce the creations and so on with the gunas, the mode of passion, etc. Although you are actually free from the endeavor, indifferent to this, you awaken the modes which are present from before, divested of their differentiation. Thus awakening them, that's called pradhan, simply by your glance, samikshaya dristamatrena, or else by giving them your attention. But it may be questioned, what is the purpose of this glance? In reply to this, they state that your pleasure activities are infallible, or in other words, you always act simply out of sport, or else no one is able to disrupt your play by awakening the natures of these different modes, as they state by the words beginning Amoga. This is because you are the holder of your innate potency of time, since even Brahma and others like him cannot transgress time. So somewhat esoteric and philosophical. That Krishna does this just by, he is spotless and does everything sinless free from all contamination, free from all false ego when he makes the material world. And therefore we cannot ascribe the faults of the material world upon him, nor can we ascribe the fact that the living entity suffers as to the Lord's fault, because it's a moga lila, a moga vihar, he has to say. Jiva Goswami says, but is the fault then on the part of me, Krishna, who have given him the status of being a servant? The Nagapatnis replied to this with the five verses beginning Tvam. He means Eva, all almighty, controller of all, even though without desire for endeavor, although devoid of desire for these different things, you arrange for them. You arrange for the material world, although you don't desire the material world to be present. But you arrange, just again in the same example, just as the king arranges for the prison house. He doesn't desire it. This is replied to by saying, by glancing upon the sat, all of your devotees who are in the... Now this is the real reason why the... Jiva Goswami has explained the real reason why the material world is in existence. So the rest, it's in existence for the non-devotees as a prison house. But you can't. One can't say... that the prison house, the purpose of the prison house is for the incorrigible prisoners in the sense that it keeps them out of the state. So in that sense, it's for the prisoners. But here, Jiva Goswami says the real purpose of the prison house or the material world. Please listen carefully. All of your devotees, by glancing upon the pradhan or the sat, all of your devotees who are in the stage of sadhana in the previous day of Brahma, or in other words, by your glance, simply like looking at them to awaken them, this is stated in the Padma Purana, I engage in various activities in order to give pleasure to my devotees. And thus the implication is that only coincidentally are the other living entities also awakened. That's the idea that the fault of him who has performed such karma, it is that they suffer, not the fault of you. In other words, the living that Krishna glances at the material world, or he starts the material energy working, so that the devotees who are at the stage of sadhana, and this is the purpose of the material world, can rise up to the stage of prema. And therefore they can go back home, back to Godhead. Because until our prema is complete, we cannot be in the spiritual world because of that one law, that one rule that allows and disallows entry into the material world, into the spiritual world. And the rule is, the law is, you have to love Krishna because everyone in the spiritual world loves Krishna. Just imagine how much trouble there would be, and it happens in Krishna's Boma Lila that Krishna is wanting to dance in the rasa dance, and then someone comes along who doesn't follow that law that you have to love Krishna and Krishna's in the center, and he says, why should the gopis be dancing with Krishna? They should be dancing with me. I want to dance with them. So then you'd have the whole material world all over again. So someone actually does that in Vrindavan. Who is that? Who does it? Does anyone know? Huh? Who? No, who's it? Purnamasi? She's... But no, who is the one who Krishna is dancing with the gopis and comes along and says with Balaram? Huh? In Vrindavan. Vid wasn't allowed in Vrindavan. No visa. Balaram? Is he going to compete with Krishna? Mataji? You should pull the hat over your face, not only from the bottom up. Who is it? Who is it that in the Krishna's dance wants to dance and play with the gopis, with Balaram, on holy actually? Sankachuda. He says, why these gopis are dancing with they are meant for me.
Oh, this was the question.
Yes, that's the fault of the questioner.
Sankachuda.
No, there's one law, and the one law, because it would make Golok into the material world, if there were other laws, that everyone would be thinking, I want to be in the center. It all should be centered around me. And the one agreed law is in Goloka Vrindavan, is that everything is centered around Krishna. So what happens to Sankachuda?
Killed.
Yes, by Krishna. And whatever he has is given to Balaram, to give to Maru Mangal for the pleasure of Srimati Radharani, the great jewel. So Jiva Goswami is saying, the purpose, because there's a problem, in the material world, everyone is averse to Krishna. Okay, let them be averse to Krishna. But also in the material world, and not those who are only who are averse to Krishna, but there are the devotees who haven't yet developed the qualification to go to the spiritual world. They don't have prema, but they're in the stage of sadhana, the stage of practice. So the purpose of the material world is to allow those souls a field of activities where they can develop their love for Krishna, the sadhya. Sadhya bhav nitya sadasya bhavasya prakata middhi sadhyata. So that's Jiva Goswami's comment. So incidentally, he awakens the souls from the other souls who are averse to Krishna. But Krishna also wants them back too, of course. But he's somewhat neutrally inclined to them. But who is it that knows the purpose of the Lord and is kind, especially kind to them? That's the devotees who are especially on the madhyam stage. Bishop Chakravarti Tagore explains. But why don't we save the questions till the end? And Vishwanath, we'll read Vishwanath's comment here. What do I accomplish by personally engaging creation, giving life to the pradhan and making it subject to transformation? The Nagapatnis replied to this in the verse beginning Twam, by glancing upon Sat. The pradhan, awakening the natures of fearsomeness and so on of the universe, by which manifest in the previous age, is now dissolved. These different natures of the modes being still existent in dormant form. You produce the creation and so on by the mode of passion. Because it is an insult to call you the producer of the material modes, you are in actuality separate from all material endeavor. You are he who holds the time potency, which is akrita, consisting of the moment and other parts, and in this way your sporting pastime of directing your glance at the pradhan is faultless. Let me just see if it's a little more clear with in this translation, Vishwanath's comment. Krishna asks, what is the purpose of creating this universe, giving it life and transformation? The Nagapatnis answer, simply by glancing upon the material nature after the end of the previous kalpa, you wake up the jivas resting in the pradhan in their previous nature. And then proceed with creation, maintenance, and destruction through the three modes of material nature, rajas, sattva, and tamas. Though you activate the modes of nature, you are not involved with any material endeavor. All this is brought about through your eternal potency of time. Just by your glance, you execute all these activities in a playful mood. So now text 50. Therefore, all material bodies throughout the three worlds, those that are peaceful. So in other words, he's saying you've brought this material existence into material creation into existence for the conditioned souls. This is your pastime. Now why kill this one who is under the control of the modes of material nature? All material bodies throughout the three worlds, you've brought them into existence. Those who are peaceful in the mode of goodness, those that are agitated in the mode of passion, those who are foolish in the mode of ignorance, All these living beings, you've brought them up. They are in your creation. They are your creation. Still, those living entities whose bodies in the mode of goodness are especially dear to you. And it is to maintain them and to protect their religious principles that you are now present on earth. Yada yada hidomasya klani bhavati bharata. Srila Srila Swami. So all the living entities are your creations and under your protection. Although those in the mode of goodness are especially under your protection. So everyone is under your protection. So they're bringing it to the point of asking for Krishna to protect Kaliya. And then, they're building their case, and then in 51, 52, and 53, they'll make their request specifically. So in 50, Srila Sridhar Swami comments. We'll just read Vishwanath's comment. 50. Krishna inquires, what is the intention of all your praising? You're praising me so much and saying, glorifying all my powers and all the things I want. Why? The Nagapatnis reply, you are the creator of all the material bodies throughout the universe. At the time of creation, you awaken the bad qualities within the non-devotees. So how is it possible for Kaliya to give up his cruel nature on his own? Though all the bodies in the universe are created by you, we see that the living entities who take to devotion are dear to you. You are present on earth to maintain your devotees and have helped them uphold their religious principles. 51. At least once. So here is their... I'll read these three verses because these are their requests, and then we'll go over them one by one. At least once a master should tolerate an offense committed by his child or subject. O supreme peaceful soul, you should therefore forgive our foolish husband who did not understand who you are. O supreme Lord, please be merciful. It is proper for the saintly to feel compassion for women like us. So if you don't want to be merciful to him, but be merciful at least to us. This serpent is about to give up his life. Please give us back our husband, who is our life and soul. Yeah, feel it. So they're saying, okay, be merciful to him. He did not understand who you are. He was in ignorance. At least be merciful to him once. And if you don't want to be merciful to him, be merciful to us, your devotees. Because without our husband, we won't be able to maintain our life. He's our life and soul. He's a devotee. Now please tell us, and then their final request. So be merciful to him, or be merciful to us, and in that way, and by being merciful to him, you will be merciful to us. And then the third request is, please tell us, your maidservants, what we should do. Certainly, anyone who faithfully executes your order is automatically freed from all fear. So their request is to tell us, how can we serve you? What should we do? What should we do now? We'll do whatever you want. And then we won't be afraid. And Krishna will very quickly tell them what to do. Now we'll read these verses again and read the comments of Vishwanath. So the first one, at least once. Aparada sakrit bhartra sodhavya swapraja krita chantamarhasi shantatma mudhasya tvam ajanataha. At least once, sakrit, a master should tolerate an offense committed by his child or subject. So Kaliya is under you. Certainly you're proper in punishing him, but don't kill him. You should tolerate his offense. O supremely peaceful soul. In other words, don't be angry at him. You're Shantatma. O supreme peaceful soul, you should therefore forgive our foolish husband. This is what we want you to do. Forgive him, for he did not understand who you are. Purport. Because of their extreme anxiety, in this verse, Kali's wives mention the same idea twice, that the Supreme Lord should kindly forgive their foolish husband. The Supreme Lord is Shantatma, the supreme peaceful soul. And therefore the Nagapatni suggests it would be proper for him to overlook at least this once the great offense committed by the ignorant Kaliya. And Vishwanath's comment to 51. The Nagapatnis prayed, "You should tolerate the offense Kali has committed against your devotees. After having been taught a lesson by you, however, if Kali again harasses your devotees, you are not obliged to forgive him. Our husband Kali is qualified for forgiveness because he is ignorant and foolish." Because of their extreme anxiety, the Nagapatnis asked Krishna twice to forgive Kaliya, and Krishna is addressed as Shanta, peaceful, because that is the cause of forgiveness. One has to have peacefulness in oneself before one can forgive another. 52. This verse again. For us, if you don't want to forgive him directly, forgive him for us, our sakes. O Supreme Lord, please show mercy. Please be merciful. Anu Grinishva Bhagavan, O Bhagavan, please be merciful. Give him your mercy. It is proper for the saintly to feel compassion for women like us. This serpent is about to give up his life. Pranams Chajati Pranaga. The serpent is about to give up his life. Srinam Nasadu Sochitam. We are to be pitied. Women like us are to be shown compassion by sadhus, sochanam, by sadhus. And this pati, he is our husband. He is our life itself. Please give us back our life by giving up back our husband. So that's what they say. He is our life and soul. And Vishwanath to 52 comments. Krishna says, "I have diagnosed Kaliya's disease. I have treated and cured him. But to wipe out the last traces of the disease, I must stomp on his head 7 or 8 times more. You should permit this." The Nagapatnis plead, "We fear that if you give our husband this strong medicine and a punishment, which is actually some more mercy to purify him of all of his offenses, he may die, for he is just about to leave his body." He was that close. Krishna replies, "What does it matter if he gives up his snake body? What can he do with this body? It is better that he gets a spiritual body as my devotee." The Nagapatnis say, "If we beautiful women become widows, we will be engaged by force to enjoy with another sinful snake. Since Kaliya is now a Vaishnava, he has become the object of our affection and our life and soul. So please do it for our sake. If not for his sake, for our sake." And then in 53, so they're making their plea, "Don't kill him. Now tell us, Videhi, please order us. Who? Te Kinkarinam, please order us, your maidservants. Anushtayam Tava Agyai, what is your command? What should we do?" And certainly, Yat Shradhaya Anutishtan, by executing with faith your order, Muchete Savata Bayati, one will become free from fear. So we're afraid of losing him, and then we'll be unprotected and we'll get ourselves into trouble. So please tell us what to do, and we'll do whatever you say. And if we faithfully execute your order, all our fears will be gone. But we're begging you this one thing. We are surrendered to you. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, after punishing Kaliya, Krishna says, "Then take your husband. I'm giving him to you, but you must follow my order." The Nagapatnis say, "Yes, we will follow. Please give us the order." This order is revealed in a later verse, and that is to leave the Yamuna. go away. Go to your island, your original place, return to your place again. So that ends the verses. Now it's interesting that there, all the talk about he's, you should be merciful to him, he's in a snake body, you're the creator of the modes, you've impelled him in that sense, even though it's his fault, it's he, you have some part in it. So you, for him to control his nature and stop acting like such an envious snake, it's also your since you're the creator, you please do that. You be merciful to him in that way. So it's interesting, and that's basically what Kaliya says. Won't jump ahead too much, but I'll just say in text 58, Tatra Vayam Sitatra Bhagavan Sarpa Jatiru Manyava. Vayam means that we're in the material creation, O Bhagavan, Vayam Jatatra Bhagavan. What can we do? We're in your creation and you're the creator, the controller of that creation. Sarpa Jati Unu Manyava. That we come from a Sarpa Jati. The family, the species of serpents. And these are Urumanyava, who are always absorbed in anger and envy. So therefore, Katam Tyajasam, how can we give up this Twatmayam? How can we give up this tendency we have? Because it's born of your potency, your Maya, and we can't overcome your Maya. Dusyajam Mohitam Sayam. It is impossible to give this up by our own. So this is a very nice prayer when we confront our own difficulties, begging Krishna, understanding his supreme position and understanding that we are in Krishna's Maya, but indeed it's Krishna's Maya. And because it's Krishna's Maya, and because Krishna is the controller of his Maya, he can remove it. Otherwise, how can we do it? Sarpa jati rumanyava. We have our tendencies born of the modes which infect the bodies and our conditionings in so many ways. So only by Krishna's mercy can we give it up. How can we give it up on our own? So that's basically what Kaliya is asking Krishna too, when he gets his turn to speak. And then after Kaliya speaks, he'll express his mind in the next verses, which Rani Mataji will speak on in the next class. And then Krishna will give them their orders to leave the Yamuna. Okay, thank you. Any questions or comments? Bye-bye.
Is this a test for the Enlightened Brahmins then?
I'm sorry, a test?
Is this a test for the Enlightened Brahmins in that they give the opportunity to let Krishna do what he wants with Kaliya, and then they have to take shelter of Krishna? Or they can take shelter of the other person and then they have to leave and then they go to a separate place. So it's like, it seems like the second best choice.
Seems like
second best.
Second best. What's the first best?
To leave it up to Krishna.
Well, that's what they do at the end, but they express their desire.
So Krishna will follow that. He'll actually fulfill their desire. Unless their desire is pure, it's really they're actually saying.
But Krishna is independent. Not necessarily that he just fulfills the desires. This is described Chaitanya Charitamrita. That sometimes in the verses, I can't remember exactly where it is in Chaitanya Charitamrita, but yasyaham anugrahami, that Krishna, if a devotee has desires, that's going to entangle him further and cause him to have more desires. Krishna pulls everything away so that they're left defeated and dependent upon him. So that is also a possibility. If Krishna wants to do that, he can say, sorry, I want to send your beloved serpent Kaliya back home, back to Godhead now, and give him one more kick and finish. Mm-hmm. But he has his way of wanting to do things, because ultimately, as Sanatana Goswami pointed out previously, he's very intimate. From the point of view of Sanatana Goswami, he's an intimate devotee. So, your point, as I understood it, is best if they said, do with him as you want. Second best is, here's what we want, we think this is the best. So perhaps what they did, for their good reasons, Vishwanath explained their good reason, they thought it was best, even for their spiritual life, to have their husband there, because now he was a devotee. But then ultimately, they left it up to Krishna. So it seems to me, and from what I've seen, this is a proper way to proceed. Sometimes in our own lives, Krishna doesn't tell us exactly what we should do. But we have to act. So we could say, okay Krishna, you tell me what to do. I'll do whatever you want. But sometimes Krishna doesn't directly say turn left or turn right. So what do we do? What we do is we use what Krishna has given us, whatever intelligence, shastra, to make up our own mind, what we think is the best thing in Krishna's service. So that seems to be what the Nagapatnis have suggested. This is what we think is best. But not that we become attached to what we think is best. The attachment for a devotee is to please Krishna. So, but yet, according to their abilities, according to their intelligence, they say, this is what we've discerned is best, but ultimately whatever you want we'll do, so you just order us. So that's the way we proceed also. With our intelligence, we make a decision as what we think is best, unless Krishna, we know clearly what Krishna wants us to do. And then we say, okay Krishna, this is what I think is the best way to serve you, but if you want me to do something else, whatever you want, I'll do. Because my attachment is to pleasing you, not to following my plans. So that's what, it seems to me that's basically what they did. They could have, I said, I guess, just glorified Krishna and say, now you do whatever you want with him. But it seems like this is how they were inspired by Krishna to pray. So much so that Krishna agreed with them. And he gave them an order according to what would satisfy him and satisfy them as well. Because Krishna wants his devotees to be satisfied. Yeah.
So on the same point, is it how would we as devotees, because at different levels of surrender, some devotees you say it's all up to you, and in this case they're actually using an intelligence. So as individuals, do we have to actually understand what position we are in, what we can actually manage, and also use that as a guidance in, as to how we approach Krishna. If we're not capable of actually completely surrendering, we have to be realistic and say, okay, this is...
But what does it practically mean to surrender? It means anukulasya sankalpa pratikulasya varjana. So that means you accept everything favorable and you reject everything unfavorable. So how are you going to know the difference between what's favorable and unfavorable for accepting and rejecting? That also takes intelligence. So it's not... So one could do that. Say if one's in a situation that's difficult and there's no choice and you can't act or think or do anything, and sometimes that happens, then you just place yourself in Krishna's hands. But if you're in a situation where you're not sure how to act, you can say, okay Krishna, do with you what you want with me, but then there's no answer very often. You know what I mean? What do we expect? You know, a voice to come from the sky, you know, now turn left or turn right. So sometimes maybe it does happen, or sometimes it doesn't happen. Or we can ask a trusted person, a trusted Vaishnava, who we trust their discrimination, our spiritual master, or some other very trusted Vaishnava, and we can say, what should I do in this circumstance? And just do what they say. So that's another option. But another option, if that isn't there, and even if that is there, you can get what your intelligence confirms. You can get it confirmed by the trusted Vaishnava. But you can also think, okay Krishna, You're not telling me what to do, and there's no one around who I can just ask. So you've given me intelligence. I'll try to use that to the best of my capacity. But if you don't want me to, if my decision isn't your decision, throw it away and tell me what to do. So it doesn't seem to me that just standing and saying, whatever you want, Krishna, is always the most surrendered thing. Because that's what it seems to me. It depends on the circumstance. Sometimes it is. Sometimes Krishna wants you to accept what you know is favorable and just do that. Or reject what's unfavorable, which requires your intelligence. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's thrown a lot more light on it. The situation is actually very important, and the devotee that was in that particular situation also, you don't just put it down to one standard way of dealing in every situation.
And even to know which principle to evoke takes intelligence. You have to decide, is this a time for me to just put up hands like Draupadi, or is it time for me to to fight? Like Arjuna, with his discrimination, he wanted to leave the battlefield, and he had good reasons. But Krishna said, that discrimination is not surrender to me, it's against my desire. So he allowed he adjusted his desire according to Krishna's will. So we have to do that too. With his intelligence, to not fight seemed to be the more pure thing to do, detachment, which was a legitimate discrimination. Because there were good reasons why he shouldn't fight. But there was one flaw, and the flaw was the major flaw, was that it's not what Krishna wanted. So how do we know what Krishna wants? To surrender to it. So if we just raise our hands and say, okay, Krishna, you do whatever you want, then what do? Sometimes we hear a voice from outside. Sometimes some miracles do happen for devotees. Krishna does tell us. Sometimes we just don't know what to do. And then, we put ourselves in Krishna's hands like that. Sometimes we have no choice. The tank is about to roll over us. What do we do? There's nothing to intellectualize. There's no plan. We just have to say, Krishna, whatever you want. I'm yours, Krishna, Krishna. Anyway, that's how I view it. Anyone else want to add or take away from that?
This Nagapattini is called inspiration from heart also to pray like this.
Yeah, that's a reconciliation that this is, there they are with Krishna in front of them. So we can't say that there's the Krishna's Leela Shakti involved. And their prayers are so poetic and everything, so Krishna's inspiration is certainly there. To know which principle to evoke in which circumstance is wisdom. To have just jnana, knowledge, theoretical knowledge is one thing, but vigyan, the science of it all, the wisdom of it all, the realization of the jnana is required. Which principle to evoke? Because there's unlimited shastra also. So which shastric principle should we evoke? And Krishna gives. The Nagapattini said he gives everyone the conviction in the different shastras and their own logical points. But the point is that the devotee is thinking how to act so that will please, so Krishna will be pleased. And that's the central point. And then, based on that thought, he'll act in one way or another. Make his own plan. I've read this recently too. Probably in the Bhagavad Gita, where Prabhupada says that the Lord helps those who help themselves. There's a purport. You know where that is? Maybe you can look it up. You have the machine open. The Lord helps those who help. It's in one of Prabhupada's purports. The Lord helps those who help themselves. Good question, though. Thought provoking. And sometimes, in the name of doing something that's pleasing to Krishna and not just depending on Him, we do what we want to do. And then also, so very much it depends on really the consciousness, because we can't trick Krishna. He knows. And then any other questions or comments on this or anything else? Madam Benjamin?
Cool. It looks like Krishna had another plan for Kali, according to Vijana Chakravarti, because he just said, what's the use of this same body? Might as well have a spiritual body to enjoy with me. So it looks like that was his inner plan, but then to satisfy the Patnis, he fulfilled their request.
Perhaps.
So in one sense, the negativities prevented Kaliya to go back.
If what you're saying is 100% true.
Well, Vijayanath is saying it.
But he's saying it, but we don't know the mood he's saying it. Let's see if this translation sheds some light. But if he's a devotee now, why would he kill him? Except that being touched by his lotus feet, he would be. But it's an interesting point. Because now he's been touched by Krishna's lotus feet, so he's a devotee. So why kill him? And if that was the process of making devotees into better devotees, then maybe he should do that to all of us. But we have to practice our sadhana. That's the process. Yeah.
Is it because he was not ready in his consciousness that he had to leave Golok?
But Vishwanath is saying that he could. If he's touched Krishna's feet, oh, this is Krishna saying, I'll kick him a few more times, give him a little more mercy, and then send him home. Mm-hmm. So then his consciousness will be better by then. But we don't know if Krishna's just saying that just to tease out more, something more from the Nagapatnis or what. Out of Vrindavan.
Is there an explanation why he did that?
Why he sent them out of Vrindavan? Yeah. Well, you can see that even by their prayers, even the Nagapatnis' prayers aren't the prayers of the Brijbasis. Yeah. Not in the same way. They're very much to the super soul type. So they actually can't stay in Vrindavan. How exclusive is Vrindavan? Any other questions or comments?
I had this doubt when we heard Jiva Goswami's reasons why the Lord puts into action the three modes and why the creation takes place. But one is he doesn't actually wish to awaken the non-devotees. But
why? Why doesn't he wish to awaken them? Because he's samaham sarvabhuteshu, he doesn't care. He's neutral. This is from one point of view as the super soul. So he's neutral when it comes to the non-devotees. Like, otherwise, but he's partial to his devotees. Otherwise he's accused of other things, like giving one prisoner a more difficult time than another prisoner. First class prison house, second half prison. One person gets solitary, another person gets beaten. So that's not him. That's what the prisoners deserve. So he, like the law, is neutral, and he just sanctions the law, so to speak. So he's neutral in relationship to them. So when it's time to awaken, they let them awaken by the natural laws of nature. But his interest is in the devotees. They have some Krishna consciousness. And it's time for them to perfect their sadhana and come back to him. That's his actual interest. For the prisoners who are still in the prison house saying, oh, the law has made me here. As soon as I get out, I'm going to do terrible things again. I'm going to rob a bank. I'm going to steal. He doesn't want to let the law deal with them in its own way. Whatever the law says, let it happen.
Since I found that those who are in sadhana bhakti in the material world, obviously before they were non-devotees.
Say again? Those who are in sadhana bhakti?
Sadhaka, yeah. Before they were non-devotees, somehow like that.
Yeah.
Unless there is the creation and the chance is given.
No, but the purpose of the Lord, sometimes Prabhupada says in the Bhagavad Gita, in one of his purports, that the devotees know the purpose of the Lord, and their mood is their own mood, but it's also how the Lord wants them to act. They carry the Lord's kripa shakti. So in that sense, the devotees are more merciful than the Lord himself. Because they'll hold open Bhagavad Gita classes, and even though the Bhagavad Gita is meant for the devotees only. They know what the Lord wants, so they follow. They know how to satisfy Him. But that's also Krishna's arrangement. Because on one level you can say that this is Krishna's desire that the material world is awakened so that everyone can be benefited. So you can say that, but it's because. But you can say it in a different mood, in that way that is also even more ecstatic in one sense. That Krishna's desire is so that the devotees come to him. It's also, I've also read, I've heard that the purpose of the material world is because Brahma, his devotee, Lord Brahma, has a tendency to create. So Krishna gives him something to do. He wants to create the material world, okay. So it's for the purpose of satisfying Brahma, Lord Brahma, a great devotee. So that's a very wonderful angle on a particular philosophical point, but there are other angles as well. This would be another angle on the same thing. And then another angle would be that he's desiring all the souls to come back to him. But the way he brings them back is through his devotees, or his incarnations, or Shastra, or the holy names. So one has to have a picture of the whole philosophy and know which point to say at which time. That's the wisdom. Did you find that?
Well, I feel it's quite 25 hits, yeah, and I've read about five. And it seems to be most generally it's saying that we put ourselves in the hands of God. God helps us all himself.
Yeah, we shouldn't be independent, but we act in order to please him, but with the purpose of pleasing him and ultimately depending on him for the results. That's the basic, based on Shastra Sadhguru. That's the basic way we act. That's the way we're supposed to act, basic way. And if Krishna tells you something specific to do directly, then of course we surrender to that very happily and willingly. I would be able to find the... How many of those quotations were in the Bhagavad Gita? How many? Okay, what is that one? What is right above that? Does anyone have a Bhagavad Gita handy?
One should engage oneself in the practice of yoga with determination and faith and not be deviated from the path. One should abandon without exception all material desires born of mental speculation and thus control all the senses upon all sides by the mind. That's the translation.
Yeah.
It's a long quote.
Well, what's right above the purport? Above that last sentence.
Well, it's a little sentence into a paragraph on itself. And then there's a paragraph above that. I can read that if you want.
Well, it seems like a Bhagavad Gita may be coming, so I'll be able to see just what I want.
Which verse? 6, 21?
4. So the story above this above the Lord says the Lord God helps those who help themselves was the sparrow, the little sparrow who tried to dry up the ocean. So she had her own idea, and by her determined following of that idea, even though it was a material idea in that sense, then Krishna in the form of Garuda came to the rescue. Slightly different point. Anyone who follows the principles with great determination, the Lord will surely help, for God helps those who help themselves. Okay, any other questions? Thank you. Yes?
Or comments? Krishna is not, he's on absolute platform, so for him, not such things exist like favorable and unfavorable.
Who's, say again?
For Krishna, who is on absolute platform, for him there is no like dualism, that like something favorable and something unfavorable. In this situation of which with a serpent, with Kaliya, from external point of view, it seems that Kaliya was unfavorable to Krishna. But from the Krishna's point of view, this incident, it is... cannot be considered as unfavorable.
He had so much fun.
Just shakti, just lila, fun, yes.
He has, Krishna
playing.
Has fun. Everything Krishna does is favorable. He wins every battle.
Yes. So maybe this incident was just manifest by him, just to manifest his bhakta vatsala qualities, because this quality is very clear now manifested in this incident.
Many reasons for one activity. When he was when he was dancing on Kaliya's head, he wanted to dance. He wanted to have some exchange with the gopis, and he wanted to chastise Kaliya and purify Vrindavan. All different things. He just wanted to dance.
And also intends the vatsalya bhav of Yashoda.
He wanted to see everyone's love come and be expressed too. So certainly, ultimately, we say lila. But also, and he wanted us to hear the wonderful prayers of the Nagapatnis and their instructions, and also get some inspiration about how we're supposed to progress. How do we progress in our own spiritual life?
Yeah,
to one point is, as you said, that in their prayers, Nagapatnis refers to Krishna as to super soul. So they are addressing Krishna as super soul. That means they're on the platform like yogis who are meditating on the super soul in their heart. So they cannot, like you said, that how exclusive is Vrindavana. So not everybody can stay, survive here in the spiritual, from the spiritual point of view. So Nagapatnis was on the platform of like yogis, and they cannot, they have no mood of love. Like that's why he just asked them to leave Vrindavana, which intended only for loving service to Krishna. Is it right? Is it?
That's definitely one point of view to see. From, I could not stay. Okay, that's it now. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Krishna Kaliya ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Vobhaktavani ki jai.